The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's B'Shalach. In B'Shalach, we have the Shiras Hayom, the song which they sang at the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. One of the psukim, one of the passages in that Shira, is in Perek Tesvav Posik Beis, the second half of it, Ze Keli V'Anveihu. This is my God, V'Anveihu. We'll see exactly what Anvehu means, but one of the meanings is that I will beautify him. First of all, what does it mean, Zekeli? See, this is my God. Rashi brings Bichvei de Nigla Aleihem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came during the time of the splitting of the sea and revealed himself to them. And the people pointed to him with their finger. From the fact that it says Zeh, this is a word which describes explicitness. Where they could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, as explicit as possible. And they could point with their finger and say, Zeh Keli V'Anveihu. Zeh Keli, this is my God. Then Rashi brings, Ros HaShivcha LaYom, even a simple maidservant saw on the sea, Mashalei Ro'u Nevim, that even the great prophets were not able to see. This is from the Mechilta. And actually in the Mechilta it states, Ros HaShivcha LaYom, Mashalei Ros HaYecheskel Ben Buzi, that a maidservant on the sea saw what Yecheskel Ben Buzi could not even see. Yecheskel Ben Buzi was the great prophet who saw the Maaseh Merkava, the chariot of Hashem. So this is telling us the height that they came to during the splitting of the sea. We have a similarity to this in the beginning of Parshis Matos, where there the Torah tells us, right at the beginning of Parshas Matos, that's Bamidbar Lamed. Moshe spoke to the head of the tribe, saying, "Zeh Hadavar Asher Tzivo Hashem. This is what Hashem has commanded." And the fact that Moshe was able to say this, so it states that Moshe's, here's a prophecy, was as aspaklaria de meira. It was like looking through a glass which was perfectly clear. And he was able to say this. Others, their nevuah, their prophecy was Ke Omar Hashem. Ko was thus said Hashem. In other words, it's a little more vague. They did not see with that clarity. Here, during the time of the splitting of the sea, Ros HaShivcha LaYom, even the simple handmaiden, came to the level of this, where they could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as humanly possible and say, this is my God. They came to heights even greater than Yecheskel Ben Buzi. The question is, how is it possible for a human being, and especially everyone you take, can come to such heights? The answer to that is the truth of the matter is person is born with an neshama, a soul, which comes from that level. Neshama, shenasatibi tahirahi, the soul which you gave me is tahor. That comes from that level. So the soul in itself doesn't have the problem. The problem comes from this world, the physical world. The physical world becomes like mechitzas abarzel. It becomes like a mechitza, obstacles, divisions made out of steel. And therefore, we are no longer capable of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as much as humanly possible. This is why it states that when a person, before a person is born, ner delek al reishai, when he's an embryo in the womb of the mother, there's a candle over his head. Umalamdin they say kol ha-Torah kula, and they teach him the entire Torah. Someone who knows the entire Torah comes to these levels. The Maral explains, why is it Ner Delek Al Reishai? Why is there a candle over his head? The Ner represents the soul, the Neshama. The Neshama has not yet gone into the body. It stays above the body. And since it stays above the body, so therefore you do not have yet these Mechitzas HaBarzel, these divisions or obstacles of steel of this world, which divides the soul from the Alma, from Hashem. Once the fetus, even Shiyotzal Abed Olam, comes into the world, at that instant the soul enters his body, and an angel comes. The Gemara brings in Nida Daf Lamed. An angel comes and slaps him on the face. U'mishakhehu kol ha-Torah kula, he forgets the entire Torah. Because once the soul enters into the body, and it's in this world, and the fetus has come out into the world, now this world divides between him and Hashem. That's why this world is called Olam, the physical world. Olam is from the word Helem, which means to conceal. So, it's not a question if the person has the capability. Innately, the person does have the capability. The problem is that he's in this world. He's in a physical world, and he's bound by everything that is physical, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is non-physical, therefore cannot come to these levels. But if he could free himself from the physical mechitzas, from the physical world, then he would be able to say, Zeh Keli Bi'an Behu, this is my God. And that's what happened then. The Kriyas Yam Suf, splitting of the sea, they were able to free themselves. And therefore they saw even what Yecheskel ben Buzi couldn't see. This is the Medrash brings as a Medrash, which states that an example of an Irani, a person from a small country town, a princess met him and fell in love with him, and she wants to marry him. They get married, but he's unable to make her happy. He brings her everything that he knows is good. He's from a farm community, so he brings her the best apples and the best potatoes and the best onions and the best cattle. Whatever he brings her doesn't satisfy her. Why? Because she comes from a different world. She comes from a world of a palace, of no royalty. It says the same in this world with the soul and the body. Body comes from this world. Soul comes from another world. We try to satisfy our soul with everything that we know is good. So we give ourselves the best food, the best wines, the best clothing, and the best cars, and whatever it might be. And whatever we bring the soul, No, not satisfied, because she comes from another world. So therefore, there's no question as to how can they come to that level, because the soul is on that level. The question is why didn't the world divide, create a division between they and Hashem? And that was because of the Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shikru, the level of Shikru, of freedom that they reached at the splitting of the sea. Now, when they came to this level, what did they say? V'anvehu. There are four explanations that the Mechilta brings in the word anvehu. First explanation is from the word no'er, beauty. Shmuel Eimer, v'chi efshel ha'odem li'noveis es kenei. Beauty, I will make him beautiful. Is it possible to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu beautiful? Elan ve'el lei b'mitzvahs. Make his mitzvahs beautiful. Make him beautiful through his mitzvahs. That's one interpretation. Second interpretation, Abba Sholeimer. What does it mean, ve'anvehu? Nid me'lei. Anibahu. Make yourself similar to him. I will make myself like him. I will follow his qualities. Mahu chanun, afato chanun. He's good, you be good. He's compassionate, you be compassionate. B'yesi ben dun maskis eimer. Another opinion. Ibon elefon of migdish noer. I will build for him, it comes from the word novei, which means a home. I will build for him a home of beauty. Another interpretation. Rabbi Kiva Eimer, Agid, b'no shifcho shol mi she'omar v'hoyeh l'olam. I will beautify him with praise and song and poetry. Like we find King Solomon did in the Shir HaShirim. Now, these are the four interpretations into the word anvehu. Let's go into each one. First one, Rabbi Shmuel, anvehu b'mitzvahs. I will beautify him with mitzvahs. The Gemara brings in Masechta Shabbos. Can you give me Masechta Shabbos, please? I forgot to bring one. And Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis. Maybe this one doesn't make so much noise. You can put this on. The Gemara says, "Zekeli va'anvehu." This is my God, and I will beautify him. He's not elafon of the mitzvahs. He's not elafon of the mitzvahs. Beautify his mitzvahs. Ase elafon of sukkah noer. If you make a sukkah, you should make a beautiful sukkah. Lulav noya. If you buy a lulav, you should buy a beautiful lulav. Shofar noya. If you make a shofar, it should be a beautiful one. Tzitzis noya. Talis should be a beautiful one. Sefer Torah noya. You have a Sefer Torah written, you should go to great effort that it should be beautiful. Because of Belishmay, Bijaya Noya, it should be, it has to be written the shame Hashem, with beautiful ink, Bikulmes Noya, with a very, very good pen,
the Lavlar woman, a very, very good sofer, scribe. You should look for a scribe that not only writes, and not only writes correctly, but has a beautiful handwriting. And then you should wrap it. You should enhance it with beautiful mantlach and decorations. This is zekeli ve'amvehu, that you should physically beautify the mitzvahs and go to great effort in accordance to one's means, naturally. This is for the honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to beautify Hashem. Zekeli ve'anvehu, I will beautify Hashem. Is it possible to beautify Hashem? Through his mitzvahs I beautify him. Again, this is in accordance to one's means. Baran the Chofetz Chaim Zecher Tzadik Livrachah's son writes on him that most of his life he never had his own lulav. He used to buy a lulav with a number of partners. My son used to ask him, why don't you have your own lulav? He says, I'm not a wealthy man. I'm a poor man. I can't afford one. So, we're speaking within one's means. But this is a mitzvah. The Abishol, he comes along and he says that you should anvehu deimelei. You should emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Emulate his acts. Emulate his drochim. The Gemara brings also in Masechta Shabbos. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, Mahu chanun v'rachum, afatohe chanun v'rachum. If he is good, you should be good. If he shows compassion, you should show compassion. The Gemara brings at the end of the first parak in Masechta Seita, the Gemara says, we should study his good ways and then emulate them. He went and he made clothing for Adam and Chava, the first man and woman. So afato halbish, you also should go give clothing to those who need them. He went and he was mevake chela. He went and visited Abraham after the bris milah when he was sick. So you also should go visit the sick. He went and it was nichum avelim. He went and he, after Yitzchok lost his father or his mother, so he went and he comforted him, visited him, so you should also comfort the mourners. He went and he buried Meisha, so you also should become involved in burying people who need burial. This is what it means, anvehu b'mitzvah, need melei, that you should make yourself similar to him. Reb Yossi comes along and he says the word comes from anveyu noveh, noveh shanun, which means a home. Build a home for him, a nice home. This refers to the Beis Hamikdash. Rashi brings an ar posuk. He brings from Unkelis. Unkele says, "Eboni le mikdosha lako davosai ve'afla ko demoi." This is my God, and I will build for him a mikdosh, a sanctuary, that I can go there and worship him. Fourth opinion. What does it mean to beautify him? Beautify him with song, with poetry. with praise. Rashi brings Loshen noi, asape noi, vishivcho leboy elam, kigain madudecho, midei deidi, tseve edoy mechol inyan. I will praise him with beauty. I will praise him with song, like Shlema Melech King Solomon did in the Shir HaShirim. So these are the four interpretations of the Anvehu. This is my God, the Anvehu. Now we can ask a question. Two questions. First of all, we have four different opinions from the Tanoim, from the rabbis of the Mishnah, as to what is the interpretation, what is the meaning of the Anvehu. What is the common denominator amongst them all? Generally, when we have a different, especially several different interpretations in a phrase, but there is a common, a tzarashova, a common denominator, a common aspect amongst all of them. Secondly, what does this have to do with Zekeli? We say that they came to the highest level humanly possible when it comes to the closeness of Hashem. They came to the level where they could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyochol, as if we could say such a thing. To the point, Marin Lebe Etzba, they pointed with their finger. Zekeli Van Vehu. Zekeli. This was the level of Meisher Rabbeinu, this was the level of Yecheskel Ben Buzi. Or even more. So they came to the highest possible level of closeness and of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you come away with something. What does it mean they came away with Anvehu? Whatever the particular meaning is. So these are the two questions that we're asking. The answer to this is, actually the Maral speaks about this in Gvuras Hashem, in Perek Mem Zayin, Dav Kuf Pei Ches and Kuf Pei Tes, also my Rebbe, Reb Gifter, speaks about this in Pirkei Torah, in Teperes HaMaisa, Dav Kuf Samach Zayin. The answer to this is if one would come, we have to ask ourselves, if one could come as close as humanly possible to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what would he see? What would he see? What they saw was the ultimate in shleimus, in perfection. They saw the ultimate in perfection, in beauty, and in honor. What is beauty? Beauty is where there is no shortcoming. There is no moon. You have, for example, a beautiful animal has a blemish, lacks in the beauty, lacks in the perfection. You make something beautiful, but there's something that, how little it might be, destroys its perfection. It's not the ultimate. You have gold, you have a diamond, and there's a spot on it, there's a miscoloring in it, that takes away from its perfection, that takes away from its beauty. When they saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they saw the ultimate in perfection, where nothing lacked. And therefore they saw the ultimate in beauty and honor. So what was the response? The response was to bring it into this world and to be mefarsim and to show this world that beauty. That was the response. To bring that beauty into this world and to show the whole world that perfection and that beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, they said, Ba'anvehu. Zekeli, they came to the highest level possible for anyone human to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even a Shifcho was like Yecheskel Ben Buzi. And what did they see? If you come to the highest level, the closest you can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see the ultimate in perfection. The perfection of perfection, which lacks nothing, which is the totality of beautiful, a beauty of Yofi and Hidur. What was the response? To bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beauty into this world and to let the world know of it. And that's why all four of these interpretations from the Mechilta have to do with the expression of beauty in a physical world. The first interpretation was Hidur Mitzvah. I will physically beautify his mitzvahs. The other interpretation, I will follow his beautiful ways. Vinid Malay. The other, I will build for him a beautiful home. And the fourth interpretation, I will sing for him praises of beauty, beautiful songs and beautiful poetry. Now let's elaborate a little more on each one. When it comes to mitzvahs, the mitzvahs testify to the mitzvah, to the one who is giving the mitzvah. The mitzvahs of Hashem, this testifies to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These mitzvahs, the Tanoim Talos, must be in the ultimate of beauty. Because they're coming from a king that lacks no perfection. And if they're not, there lacks no imperfection, excuse me. And if they're not in the ultimate of beauty, to the contrary, then it's going to be the contrary reflection on the king. This is why the Gemara brings in Masechet Shabbos, Daf Chof Beis. Gemara says we must always be careful that when we do mitzvahs, we should not do it in such a way where it will become bezuyis alecho. It will be in a shameful way, a disgraceful way. Whenever you do a mitzvah, the worst it can be is when it becomes in a disgraceful manner. Because this is the reflection on the mitzvah, this is a reflection on the one who gave the mitzvah. To the contrary, if we do a mitzvah in a most honorable way, in a mahudadika way, we'll quote later on, the Mesillas Yeshorim gives many, many examples of this. But he says, for example, the first example we have from this is Cain v'Hevel. He says, both Cain v'Hevel, they both brought offerings to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hevel brought from the best and the most beautiful, and Cain took mediocrity. Hevel was beautified the mitzvahs, and Cain didn't. And look what happened. Kodesh Baruch Hu refused to accept it from Cain. These are not my mitzvahs. Or like it states, if you bring a gift to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will you bring, the Novi said, HaKrevu no v'pechotecho, would you bring an animal that's lame, bring to a great king, or that has some other type of blemish? That's bezuyis alecho. That's disgracing, that's giving a disgraceful reflection
to who the mitzvah belongs to. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate of perfection and beauty. Therefore, anvehu b'mitzvahs. I think you might quote, we quoted, you buy a talis, you should make it into a beautiful talis. A sukkah, a beautiful sukkah. A lulav, a beautiful lulav. A sefer Torah says you shouldn't look for merely someone who can write it, but who has a beautiful writing.
Through this will be misparsim, will be known in the world the beauty and the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The nations of the world will see, look at the mitzvahs that Yisrael does, and it reflects on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The same is when we said anvehu, according to the second interpretation, need melei, that you should emulate his ways. When we say emulate his ways, this is the mitzvah of behalachta bidrochov, you shall walk in his ways. This is not referring to mitzvahs protis. It's not referring to individual mitzvahs. For example, matzah or shefer or tefillin. That's not walking in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do we know he eats matzah? And how do we know he puts on tefillin? And how do we know he blows shefer? See, that's not what Vahalachta Midrochov means. Vahalachta Midrochov, the Rishayim bring, mean that you shall walk, and the Tanoim bring, that you shall walk in his ways of beauty. That those qualities that we see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we can recognize that they are ways of beauty, ways of virtue, these qualities we should instill in ourselves. See, shofar is a mitzvah. It's not necessarily a way of beauty, a way of virtue. The same thing with sukkah. This is why Rabbi Yehuda Anossi writes in Ovis, in the beginning of Perek Gimel, he says, Ezo derech, which path should a person choose for himself? A path which is a tferes le'eseho u'tferes le'mina odom. A path that will be beautiful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and beautiful in the eyes of people. Beautiful to the one who does it, beautiful in the eyes of people. The Rambam brings in Sefer HaMitzvahs, Mitzvah Eseches, he brings it in other places also. The mitzvah to emulate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to hidameis bepulosev hatovos v'hamideis hanichbodes. Those ways that we see in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the world recognizes are ways of goodness, are ways of honor. That's what the mitzvah is to emulate. That's why the Gemara brings Mahu Chanun. He's good to people. You be good. Mahu Rachum is compassionate to people. You be compassionate. An example or two on this. The Rambam brings, and incidentally, as we see, when we beautify, we take his beautiful ways, and we beautify them in the world by fulfilling them, we are bringing his beauty into the world. The Rambam brings this mitzvah, he brings at the end of Hilchos Avodim. He says as follows. Mutalavei beveknani beforach. If you have a slave that you own, you have the right to work him very, very hard. V'afal pisha din kach, midas chassidus bedarkei chochmah, shi odem rachman. Even though you have the legal right, this is not the way of the righteous. These are not the ways of the wise of Israel. But that you should be a rachamon, you should be compassionate with your servants. Reidik tzedek, you should pursue righteousness, le'yachbid eilei al avdei, you shall not make his burden too heavy. Layetzelai, you shall not cause him problems, troubles. Yachileo v'yashkil mikol maichol maichol mishta. You should feed him from everything that you eat, and you should give him to drink from everything that you drink. Hachomim rishenim hayanestin le'evet mikol tafshil tafshil ya'ichlin. The early sages used to give to their servants from every type of food that they themselves ate at their table. And not only that, magdimin mozen abhemes v'avodim l'sudas atzman. And first they would feed their animals and their servants before they would feed themselves. Because, v'chein lo yivazehu biyad. And they would not shame them. La'avdus mosron akosav leila busha. They were given to you to work for you, but not to be shamed by you. And they would not shout at them too much, and they would not be angry at them too much, but they would speak to them kindly, and they would listen to their complaints, and they would try to iron out their differences, and so forth and so on. Cruelty. Cruelty and azus. Brazenness when it comes to dealing with other people. This is not by Yisrael. This is only by the Akum Evdei Avodah Zarah, by the idolaters. Aval Zarei Shel Avraham Avinu, but the seed of Avraham, and this is Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah and commanded them in Chukim Mishpotim Tzadikim Rachmonim Hem Al Kol. They are compassionate to everyone. V'chein Midosev Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These are the qualities of Hashem shetzivonu lihidomeis bahem, that we are commanded to emulate. And it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'rachma v'kol maisov, that he is a marachim, he is compassionate on all of his creations. And call all the marachim marachmin olav, and whoever is compassionate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be compassionate. So this is a midah, a quality, because this is the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even though it's not mitzar hadin, it's not according to the technical legal aspect, but this is expected from Israel, because this is the quality of Hashem which everyone can see goodness and virtue in, and we are commanded to emulate that quality. It states v'holach v'drochav. Another such example that Rambam brings in the end of Sefer Perek Yud of Melachim, the Rambam says, when he says there are two types of non-Jews. There's a non-Jew who's a righteous non-Jew. That's someone who's mekabel zayin mitzvahs. He accepts the seven mitzvahs that he was given. And then there's an Akum. The Akum is the idolatrous non-Jew. He says, Afilo Akum, even the idolater, Tziva Chachomim Levake Chaylehem. Chachomim said that you should visit their sick. Likvar Mesehem, in Misei Israel. And you should also attend their funerals. Lefanes Aniyehem, you should give them stoker, give their poor stoker. Now the Gemara says this. So, but we would think, why? An Akum, an idolater, is an enemy of ours. He's an enemy of God. He's an enemy of ours. He denies the existence of Hashem. Or at least he serves other gods. So why should we do this? So the Gemara says, "Mivnei darkei shalom," because of ways of peace. So the simple interpretation is that shelo yavo lidei machlekes, because if we don't, we're living close by to them. Well, we have to maintain social order. So if their people need a handled, we have to help. See? If they're sick, look, we have to be cordial with them. The Rambam learns differently. Mivnei darkei shalom. What is it? Mivnei darkei shalom. Hare nema atheiv Hashem lakol verachem aval kol masov. Drochecho darkei neim vechol nesivaseu shalom. Because this is the quality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Baal HaSholom,
And HaKadosh Baruch Hu extends his shalom to everyone. And we are commanded to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we also have to be good and extend our shalom to everyone. He says, Ne'amar teiv Hashem lakol Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is good to everyone. Berachma v'akol masov. And he has compassion to all of his creations. And these are the ways of the Torah. So this is another example. Now, through this, when a person emulates the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are nearer lakol, which is evident to everyone, are ways of justice and goodness and compassion. Through this, what does it do? It brings the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. This is what it means, Zekeli v'Adveihu. I will beautify him, but how can I bring his beauty into the physical world? By emulating his beautiful ways. And then people will say, what a great creator, what a great God of the universe this is. Look at the ways of his people. And that's what the Gemara says in Yuma and Pevot, and the Rambam brings it in Hilchus Kiddush Hashem. Could you give me the first chelik of the Rambam, please? Brings in Perikei, at the end of Perikei, Hilchus Yisodei HaTorah, when he's writing what is a, sometimes one has to give his life for Chilul Hashem, you shouldn't desecrate Hashem's name, you have to sanctify Hashem's name, Kiddush Hashem, he says Yesh Dvorim Achedim Shem Bechal Chilul Hashem, there's also something else which is inclusive in Chilul Hashem and Kiddush Hashem. Uhushiyasa Osam Odom Godel Beterim Afursim Bechassidus. You have a person who's a great person, he's great in Torah, he's great in righteousness, but he does something which does not look good to people, and people start talking about it, even though they're not actual aveiros. But for example, when he buys something, he doesn't pay immediately, he doesn't pay when the account is due, even though he has money, and he stalls his creditors. Or, for example, he's loud, he's arrogant, he's boisterous amongst people. Or he's always spending his time at public parties. Or when he speaks to the people, he doesn't speak kindly to them. Or he's not friendly to them. In Makabli, in Besev upon him, your face, he's not friendly. You can't say it's an Avera. He's not a friendly type of person. And about thought of the cause. But he's a type of person who quibbles and quarrels with people. And short tempered. And so forth. He says, this is a Chilul Hashem. A desecration of Hashem's name. And if he gadle shel chochem, so and the greater the person, the greater the Chilul Hashem. And the greater the person, the more exacting he has to be with himself. So this is a Chilul Hashem. This is a desecration of Hashem's name. Why? Because people see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his ways. So he's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they say, no, this is a God. This is justice. This is goodness. This is like the Gemara Brat, Shalaytei Mitzvah, Bezuyis Olam. The same thing, if a person does a mitzvah and he does it in a disgraceful manner. Or you have an article of mitzvah, and it's not kept up, it's dirty, it's old, it's broken. except there it's in the article of mitzvah, and here it's in the anhogos, the conduct of the person. Then the Rambam says, what happens im diktek achochem alatzmai? What happens if he is exacting on himself? V'dibure benachasim abriyas, and he speaks to all people kindly. V'daitem urevasim ahem, and he's friendly and sociable with them. U'makabim v'sev upon him yopas, and everyone he greets with a good smile, and he allows himself to be insulted and he doesn't insult others. In other words, he's the type of person that's not going to create variables. And he honors them. Afilu mekilinlo. He gives honor to everyone, even the smallest. It says on Rabbi Yehiam ben Zakkai, he used to give shalom even afilu akum b'shuk, even to a goy, an idolater that he would meet. He would give him shalom. And all of his business that he does with people is perfect. And he's not boisterous, or they don't see him all of the time partying or doing things like that, empty things. But they see he's always studying Torah, doing mitzvahs, and so forth. Until everyone only has good things to say about him. And they all praise him and they all love him. And they want to emulate him. This is sanctification of Hashem's name. Because, again, he's the reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's bringing into the world the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara brings. They say, Kama Noim Maisu Shulza. How beautiful and pleasant are his ways of this person. He is Ashrei, fortunate that his father sent him to learn Torah. And I would like also my son to go and learn Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Li avode ato Yisrael asher b'cho espoel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, on those type of people, this is Yisrael, my servants, that I take pride in, because they bring my beauty into the world and they let the world know what I am. So the common denominator between the first two was when they saw the perfect beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they wanted to bring it into the world and let the whole world know about it. So one said through his articles of mitzvahs, the other said through his drochim, through your conduct, through your ways. The third opinion in the Mechilta was Rabbi Yosi ben Damascus, and he said, "Zekeli v'hanvehu ebone lafon of migdash noya ve'noya lebeis hamigdash." From the word "novehu" means a home. I will build a home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's brought. I will build a beautiful home for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How will the world know his beauty? Through the beautiful home that we will build for him in this world. And that was the Beis HaMikdash. When we had the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaMikdash was the glory not only of Klal Yisrael, it was the glory of the whole world. The world could see the beauty of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through his home. Now, to give you perhaps an inkling of the beauty of the Beis HaMikdash, because today we're without it. We have a few ruins left of the Beis HaMikdash, but otherwise we're without it. And with Eretz Yisrael also. Give you an inkling of the beauty of Eretz Yisrael. Today without it, Baruch Hashem, Eretz Yisrael is starting to build and develop. But it's not what it was. To give you one example, the Chazal bring in Parshas Shalach by the Meraglim, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Chof Beis, when the Meraglim, the spies, came down to look at Eretz Yisrael, they first went to see Hebron. Hebron was known, Kaviyochel, as the Ziburius of Eretz Yisrael. It was, the Chazal say, Ein lecho troshin be'Eretz Yisrael yesem mechevron. There was no place which was more rocky and barren than Hebron. And this is therefore, it was set aside, lekfuras meisim, for burial ground. So they didn't start with the best. They started at the other end of the pole when they came to look at Eretz Yisrael. And it states that Hebron Shiva Shonim Nivna Solif Neitzo An Mitzrayim. Hebron was 7 years older than So'an of Mitzrayim. And the Chazal explained, Rashi brings, it doesn't mean it was 7 years older. It means its beauty was seven times that of So'an Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Ein lecho me'ule bechol ha'aratzos kimitzrayim. Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world at that time. This was before Parshas Shmos for Aaron B'Shalach. It was the most beautiful land in the world at that time. And that's when the Torah tells us, when Lot saw it, he says, Kigan Hashem ki eretz Mitzrayim. When he looked at Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, this is like the garden of Hashem. It's almost like Mitzrayim, like Egypt. So Egypt was the most beautiful land in the world. The most beautiful city in Egypt was Tzoan, because we find that Tzoan was the place of the kings. Kings always choose the most beautiful. They like something which is overlooking the sea, with beauty, with mountains. They chose Tzoan. So this means the most beautiful city in the world was Tzoan. Hebron was the bottom of Eretz Yisrael. And Hebron was seven times more beautiful than the most beautiful city in the world. This is what the Meraglim saw. They said, let's first go and we'll see the worst of Eretz Yisrael. And he saw it was seven times more beautiful than the most beautiful city in the most beautiful land of the world. Now, we'll extend that equation a little further. This would mean that other parts of Eretz Yisrael must have been 8 times, 9 times, 10 times, 11 times, 12 times, because we're talking that So'an, Hebron was the bottom. So there was common that other places in Eretz Yisrael could be 10, 15, 20 times more beautiful than the most beautiful city in the most beautiful land in the world. Today, there's not much beauty left in the world. When it comes to palaces, we have to read about it. You know, the castles of old, the palaces of old, right? We read about the Palace of Versailles. We can go see it, but I mean, or the Tsar's Winter Palace. Now, if we would take these palaces and the other great palaces, actually, go to the library and you'll get the book. They have the great castles of Europe, the great palaces of Europe. I show you the great places of Austria, of France, Germany, and England, and Russia, and the Swiss Alps and the Italian Alps, where they chose beautiful places for their summer homes. And this we have nothing today. We have remnants of that. But if you would find something like that, ulai va ulai, maybe, 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 it could come to Tzoan. And if it was common that there were places in Eretz Yisrael that could be 10, 15, 20 times more beautiful, that would actually mean that compared to Eretz Yisrael, these places were a slum. That the Palace of Versailles, say, or the Swiss Alps, were actually backyard slums compared to the land of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is what we mean when Eretz Yisrael was Meseis Kolo Oretz. It was the joy of the whole world. It was the beauty, Eretz Tzvi. Just like the deer is the most beautiful of the animals, this was Eretz Yisrael. This was Hebron, which they used for Kfuras Meisim. They used to bury the dead. Now, the sages say, the Chazal say on the Beis Hamikdash, it says, for example, in Bava Basra on the Beis Hamikdash, that Hurdis built. It says, Mi shalei ra binyan shal hurdis lo ra binyan no'eb me'aylam. If you didn't see the Beis Hamikdash that Hurdis built, you've never seen beauty in your life. It would totally dim all of the castles and the palaces to make them look like backyard slums. This would give us an idea of what the Beis Hamikdash was. This is why we have to be very careful when we draw pictures. Diagrams is one thing, but when we start drawing pictures of what the Beis Hamikdash looked like, we have to be very careful. Because if you take a look at the pictures of these great castles and these great palaces, I read once the Tsar had a chandelier with 1,000 candles. He had chandeliers. He had a table that could seat 1,000 people. I mean, the beauty was unbelievable. So this is what we said, that the Anvehu, I will build a home that's appropriate for his beauty, and this way I will show the world the perfection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this is the second opinion. This is the third opinion. The fourth opinion was a Dabir B'Noah Shivchoy. I will sing to him songs and poetry to describe his beauty. Now this also is a same form of response. They saw the ultimate in perfection, the ultimate in beauty, the ultimate in Kovid and in Hidor. I want to tell the world about it. So I will sing songs of beauty to him, and this way the world will know it. And this is what the Chazal tell us. It's written in the Tanakh. This is the job of Klal Yisrael. Amzu Yotzarti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this nation I have created. Why? Tihilose Yisaperu. Because they will tell the world my praises. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be known in the world. If not for Abraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov, he would not be known in the world. If not for Yisrael, nobody would know him. How do they know him, and how do they know what he is? When we read the Tehillim of David HaMelech, when we read the Shir HaShirim of Shlomo HaMelech, when we read the Oz Yoshir, the Shir Sayam of Moshe Rabbeinu, this is how the world knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what it means, Anvehu, I will beautify him with my words and my song. You know, in general, today, writing poetry is not really today a Jewish malacha. We don't find too many great Jewish poets. And we think this is for the goyim. This is a toast. This is not true. There could be nothing more untrue. Our ancestors are the ones who brought poetry to the world. The greatest book of poems that was ever written that the whole world draws from is Dovid HaMelech's Tehillim. Could there be anything more perfect than his Tehillim? And what certain masters of literature might have written one or two, he wrote endlessly. The Shir HaShirim is known as the greatest song ever created by man. The Oz Yosh Shir, the Shir HaSayam. So, Goyim don't have to come and teach us poetry or song. We taught the world. The Mishle, the Proverbs. Not only that, but until recently it was common practice for Gedalei Torah, the greats of Torah, to write poetry. If you look in the Shach, in his Hagdoma to his Pirush on Yoredeya, he does something that was common in his day. He begins with a poem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how does he end his introduction? His father writes a poem to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The piyuti, our tefillos, all of our tefillos are poetry and song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't long ago, this was a trait that has become lost to us. But by the Sfardim it was very common, even in the later generations. But we are the ones that brought, where did the Goyim get prayer from? This is what is meant, that I will sing and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with beautiful words. This also was to bring him into the world and let the world know what he is. Now, unfortunately and tragically, today we live in a world that not only does not want to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world, but they do everything possible to lock him out of the world. We have our atheists, our evolutionists, that do everything possible to not identify HaKadosh Baruch Hu with anything in the world. And because of their lack of wisdom, their stupidity, and because of their greed and their exploitation for wealth and whatnot, they have destroyed inch by inch the beauty of the whole world. They have reduced song. We had the Shir on the Beis HaMikdash. They've reduced it to rock music. When it comes to the power of tongue, this was what sang Shiras and Piyutim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Today the power of the tongue is used for foul and filthy language. This is the literature of the world, or reduced to newspapers or slander sheets. This is the literature of the world. When it comes to the mind, the great minds of the past, Dovid HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, that created all of this, today it's reduced to computers. Computers and computer games. When it comes to art, we had our artists. What was Bezalel? Who designed the Mishkan? Who designed the Beis HaMikdash? Took thousands of people, of Jewish people, Israel, that were goldsmiths and silversmiths, and they produced the most perfection in the world. Art today is reduced to pornography or abnormal distorted pictures. They've destroyed the oceans, polluted the beauty of the oceans. They're slowly burning down the rainforests. they are polluting the beauty and the purity of the atmosphere. The cities of the world, and all kind of countless articles on this, have been reduced to what they call urban slums, inner city decay. The animals, the Gemara brings, Tesis brings, and Brochas, he brings from the Yishalmi, that if you see a beautiful animal, you have to make a brocha. He says, Susnoya, a beautiful horse, a beautiful camel, a beautiful donkey. This is a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who, with all of these scientists that we have, could they create an animal? Gemara says, Afilo and Malachas, they all get together, the whole world, they can't create one ant. Today, I just heard something that was very upsetting. A long time ago, they started to take chickens, and instead of letting them roam, they put them in a cage, and they're born in the cage and they die in the cage, and they have artificial lighting that goes on and off, and they're there to produce eggs. Alright, that was a long time ago, but now I heard something, and this is amongst the most progressive high tech nations. Now they're doing it with dairy cattle. Take a cow, put him in a cage. They use artificial insemination to reproduce. He never leaves the cage during his lifetime. And all types of artificial methods. Why? Like you would say, for the almighty buck. For milk. For production. This is what they have done, and even the beauty of the and the honor of the human race, what is it? It's reduced to a, if it's a female, it's a sex symbol or exploitation to sell or for money, Hollywood, or for self-gratification. We see the enormous contrast. They came the closest that one can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did they see? They saw the ultimate, the tachlis of shleimus v'taharo, the ultimate in perfection and beauty. And their response was, I want to take it into the world and show the world. Anvehu. So they showed the world. They beautify his mitzvahs. They instill in themselves his beautiful ways. They built a magnificent, beautiful palace for him. Or they used their minds and their talents to create the most beautiful words for him and a beautiful song. Our world is far from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We've come to the ultimate in decay and ugliness, to the point where we are slowly in the process of destroying the world. The Mesillas Yesharim has a great elaboration on this. We don't have time now to the hour is too late to go into it, but I just want to quote one thing. This is in Chelkei HaChassidus. Calls this the Chassidus, to beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just to fulfill a mitzvah, but it should be done with beauty. And he bases it on the pasuk of Zekeli van Vehu. This is in Perek Yutes of Bir Chelkei HaChassidus. But it's interesting, you see, the Mesillas Yesharim, actually he himself was a poet. He was an Italian. He lived in Italy. And Italy was the capital of beauty of Europe, or if not, the whole Western world, Italy. So there's no doubt that there was a great goyish influence of beauty on those living there. So from what he writes, you could see there was a debate going on. because the goyim of those times came to some of their greatest heights in beauty in Italy. So there was a debate going on. There was those that said, we must distance ourselves from anything that's physically beautiful, because that's from the goyim. And what's that got to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all of that. So he starts out by writing, where he starts to bring source after source that we are obligated to do something to physically beautify HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like we just said. So he says, Haredasif Seseem Boru Milelu. You see, the sages are saying this clearly and explicitly. Shein dai basis a mitzvah levad. It's not enough just to do the mitzvah letzorach lechabde lahadro. You have to beautify it. Ulehaitzi mimi shelahokel alatzma yemar. And this comes to exclude. This comes to counteract the arguments of those who said that you don't have to do this because Eina Kovet Ela Livnei Odom Hamispatim Bahavolim Eilo. This is human nonsense. This is human frivolity. See, Ach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Eina Cheshish Lezeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is above all of this. Ki Hu Mereimem Midvorim Eilo V'Nizgov Meham. He doesn't care about this. This is for us, for a physical world. But we Jews that are commanded to be above all this, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we should not get involved in this nonsense. In Kivin Shamitzvah Nasis Lamita Daibazir. And since you're doing the mitzvah kehalocha, so it's sufficient. See, this is how many said. Om Nama Emes Hu, he says, this is false. The truth is, Shahadodan Baruch Hu Nikra Elakovit. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the God of honor. And we are obligated to honor him like human beings know how to honor someone. Even though he doesn't need this honor. He doesn't need it. But we are obligated to do so. And someone who minimizes this in a place where he could do better, in Elechaita. Is a chayta. And he says, this is what the Novi, what the prophet started to shout. He says, V'chisagishen evil lisbayach, ein ro. You bring an animal for a sacrifice to the altar of Hashem, and you bring a blind animal, and there's nothing wrong with that. Hakriveo nola pechosecho, hayitzecho hayisofonecho. And if you bring an animal that is lame, he says, this, you think, makes a good impression by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then he goes on and on and on. That we live in a physical world, and we have to do mitzvahs, and we have to act in a physical world the way physical people act. And that's the honor HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So this is the explanation of Zeh Keli. They came to this level where they could say Zeh Keli Ba'anvehu. They wanted to bring this beauty into this world, do something about it, in order that the whole world should know.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.